So what's it like to be the son of a legend?
I tell you what, it's a blessing having Zig Ziglar as my father. As good as he was on stage, he was an even better dad.
It is my honor and joy to have Tom Ziglar as my guest on my special Father's Day program. Hey, Tom Ziglar, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Gail. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for saying yes. So what's it like to be the son of a legend?
I tell you what, it's a blessing having Zig Ziglar as my father. As good as he was on stage, he was an even better dad.
Amazing. Your dad always called you all before he got on the plane.
Yes, it was his airport call. He would call us either before he got on the plane or after he landed on the way back home. He would do that.
And why did he call it his airport call?
Well, he just wanted all of us to know that he was thinking about us, and it was his airport call because he was calling either going to or coming back from the airport. So that was just the name that he called it. He'd always say, "Hey, this is your airport call."
That's really amazing to think that he carried you in his heart no matter where he went.
Absolutely.
So I have a couple of questions for you, and then I want to talk to you about being a father as well. But is there some pressure of being the son of a famous father?
You know, I don't know any other experience. So for me, it has not been a pressure. And the reason I say that is everybody who loved Dad and who was impacted and inspired by Dad, when they would come up to him when we were out to eat or out in public, they were always so respectful and so gracious and so thankful. And they would all tell him the difference that his words and his materials made in their life. And that's a lot different than, say, just like a normal celebrity, a football player's kids or a movie star's kids, where the people are coming up and really all they want is a picture and an autograph. And it's kind of more selfish. And so for me, there was never resentment. There was never pressure because Dad just created such an aura around him and had such clear expectations for us and love for us. He never put pressure on us to do any one thing. He just told me, he said, "Whatever you do, whatever you choose to do, I'll be 100% behind you. Just make sure you do everything with complete integrity and you give it all of your effort."
That's good advice. What was it like growing up in the Ziglar home? Were you ever able to say anything negative?
Well, you know, we could have our negative comments, but if it went on for too long, he would step in. You know, one of my, when I can't remember how old I was probably 12, 13, 14 years old. And of course, we went to church every Sunday, and Dad would come in and wake me up. And as a young teenager, your goal in life is to get at least 12 to 14 hours of sleep in. And it doesn't matter what time you go to bed, you want that to happen. So Sunday morning, you know, they'd come in and wake me up about 7:30. And I wasn't really excited about getting up. So I would look at Dad and then I'd go, "Dad, do I have to go to church today?" And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Son, you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church."
So, great response. And probably the same thing when you went to work for the Ziglar Corporation, right?
I get to go to work. I love it. Yeah. So, yeah, we're blessed. And so now I just catch myself with all these little sayings, you know, whether I'm on an elevator or going to the men's room or meeting somebody in a parking lot or whatever the situation is, Dad always had all these phrases and statements no matter where he was, and they were all funny, uplifting, upbeat, encouraging.
That's beautiful. So what's some of your fondest memories of growing up?
Oh, well, the big one was playing golf. Dad loved golf, and he got me into the game when I was about 12, and we played golf every chance we could. We went on golf trips together. We went on vacation. We played golf. There were many times, you know, late in the day, you know, 5:30 or 6, when I would get him and we'd go play 9 holes and, you know, those kind of things. So that to me was my greatest memory with him, was just spending time. And of course he loved the game. He always thought that it was going to be his best game ever. You know, he had that attitude going into it. He was very competitive. Just about everything he did, he was competitive. People didn't know that. He liked individual sports more than team. He just always wanted to do the best he could. And so he would get so excited when we would go out and play, and it was fun to watch him. And when he would make a long putt, he would let out a big roar or a boom or whatever. People would hear it from all over. So he'd get excited when something good happened.
You know, I often think about Zig, that it would be hard if he wanted to go incognito, to put a hat on and shades on or even a fake beard or mustache, but you'd still hear that voice and you'd know exactly who that man was.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of times we'd be out to eat and nobody would recognize him until he started talking.
Well, I want to ask you, what are some of your favorite lines that your father imparted to you?
Well, when you meet somebody, he would greet somebody, he'd say, "Good morning." It didn't matter what time of day it was.
Yes.
And so at 8 o'clock at night, he'd say, "Good morning." And the person would respond, "Good morning." And then they'd go, "Wait, it's not morning, it's nighttime." And then Dad would say, "Well, why'd you say good morning then?" So he always had that humor. On elevators, he had a funny line. He'd get on the elevator, everybody would be there, and then he would get his deep speaker voice, and he'd say, "You know, on an elevator, it's not the stops or the starts that bother you. It's the jerks." And of course, everybody would laugh. I remember at an event one time, Dad was speaking in Las Vegas, and we were checking out at one of the big Las Vegas casinos to go to the airport. So it's about 11 o'clock. The elevator's packed with all the people leaving. So there's about 15 people on the elevator. And Dad gets on and he says, "Well, son, 53 trips in a row, I've made money in Las Vegas." And of course, everybody turned around and they said, "What's your system? What's your secret?" And Dad said, "I'm a speaker. I get paid to speak and I don't gamble."
Something or someone.
Yep.
I often heard him say the same line when he talked about Moses, that he was a basket case, right?
Yep.
So, Tom, what about your life? I know that you're speaking more these days. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hearing you say that every time you speak, you wear something special. What is that?
Yes. So I'll just tell the whole story. I'd started speaking. I was traveling and speaking. And this is about, probably a year and a half before Dad passed away. And he had just really started not traveling anymore. I think it was about a year before he passed away. And so I go over to Mom and Dad's place and we're talking, and then Mom looks at me and she says, "Hey, your dad and I have something for you." And I said, "Okay." And so I'm sitting on the couch and Dad's sitting across from me, and Mom goes into the bedroom and she comes out and she's got this box, and she hands me the box, and there's all of Dad's ties in it. And then she says, "Well, your dad and I were talking, and since Dad's not speaking anymore, whenever you go out and speak, we want you to wear one of Dad's ties." And so at that moment, I didn't really even know how to respond in that moment, because it was such an intense moment. It was like not only a symbolic, but a literal transferring of the mantle. I mean, this is what Dad's been known for. This is how he's built his career. He's impacted millions of people. These are the ties that he wore on stage. And Mom is saying, "Hey, we want you, when you go speak now, to wear these ties." And so every time I go out and speak, I always wear one of Dad's ties. I put it on, and it's like I'm putting on the full armor. It's when I wrap it around my neck and I'm tying it, I know for a fact that tie has heard amazing speeches. And then I think of all the preparation that's gone into it, and all the prayer and all the discipline, and just all the things that Dad went through to create his career. I mean, he had natural talent, but there's a lot of people with natural talent and you never hear about. He did it through work and dedication and prayer and God's help. And so when I put that tie on, that's kind of what it means to me. It just gives me that little bit extra. to go out and speak. And so that's why I wear his tie, and it's just something that always has impact and power to me.
That is beautiful and really so symbolic, the power that a father has to give to his son something that will carry on the message and will carry on legacy.
That's right, and that's what we're all about, just a story. And this is a metaphor, but this is what is kind of my mission. When we talk about Ziegler and our company and what we do, we have our Ziegler Legacy Certified Trainers who go out and teach our materials all over the world. And then I'm working with individuals and in kind of in the executive coaching world. But here's my focus, and this metaphor kind of explains it. When we go into a company and we ask, let's say we're going to do sales training, and we ask the buyer, who's usually like the vice president of sales, we'll say, if we were to deliver this training a year from now, what would be the difference? What results would you expect? And that buyer, that VP of sales, would often say, oh, you know, well, we'll hit our goals, we'll hit our quota, we'll hit our revenue target. And then we ask a question, and I call this the why behind the why. Well, why is that important to you? Well, the VP of sales says, well, if we do all that, we'll make more money, we'll have job security, you know, the company will grow. Okay, well, why is that important to you? And then the VP of sales will say, well, you know, if we make more money, have job security, I'll be able to pay off all my debt. Okay, well, why is that important to you? Well, if I pay off my debt, then I can buy that lake house that I've always wanted. Well, why is that important to you? Well, then I can invite my grandkids to the lake house. And suddenly, the why behind the why got real personal. And that's kind of what the world's view of success is, right? We want to have freedom. We want to have a nice place. We want to have enough money to do what we want to do. We want to include our family. And that's kind of the world's definition of success. But at Ziegler, what I learned from Dad is all of that's important. All that's good. But we need to go one step further. And so what we need to do is ask, well, why do you want to play with your grandkids? And the answer to that is, I want to play with my grandkids so I can build a relationship with them and teach them the principles and values that they will need to make the right decisions and the right choices in life so that the legacy I create will ripple through time. And that is the difference between success and significance. And that's really what we're about at Ziegler. And that's, if I could tell anybody, you know, what is the most important comprehensive thing that Dad taught us as a family? It's about legacy. I mean, he woke up every morning just eager to go and learn something and study so he could go out and teach people not just how to make more money and how to be more successful and how to have more fun, but how to live a life and then transfer those principles and values to their kids and their family and the people they are around so that that legacy continues on.
That's an amazing vision. And I'm so glad, Tom, that you're carrying that on as well. You know, when you talk about core values, it seems like in this culture, a lot of people have lost their way. You know, they've lost that anchor point. What would you say to them to encourage a dad who's listening how to regain that strong anchor point from which to build?
Boy, I could go an hour on this. But here's the reality is I'm on the board of a camp, a Christian camp called Sky Ranch. And Sky Ranch is an amazing camp. I mean, we have 7,000 kids come through every summer. They have fun. It's an incredibly safe place. And it's biblically based. And so there is a devotional every day that these kids get involved with. The counselors are people of faith. They have strong values. But the campers that come, they come from all backgrounds. You know, a lot of them are unchurched, and the ones that say they are aren't necessarily really churched. And so we breathe their truth into their lives. You know, we talk about God and truth and the things. But here's our biggest challenge there is because of the culture, these kids do not believe in absolutes. They believe that two people can have a different view of truth and they're both right. And so as parents, we've got to make sure that our kids are anchored in the truth, because by definition, the truth cannot contradict itself.
How do you do that practically?
Well, let me just give you an example. You know, when it comes to honesty and integrity and character and moral values and right and wrong, I mean, these things, it's not based on, you know, what you think. It's based on truth. It comes from the author of truth, which is God. So parents, what we've got to do is we've got to teach our kids based on truth. It's not who's right, it's what's right.
Good point.
Right? Can we justify stealing in a certain circumstance? No, we can't. We've got to base what we do on truth. Now, here's a Harvard study there's actually a TED Talk on this, and it's called the 75-Year Harvard Grant Study. And what they did is, a little over 75 years ago, they started studying the sophomore class at Harvard along with all of the they took a bunch of young people, a bunch of boys and young men from a housing project, and they put them into the study along with the sophomore class at Harvard, which was all men at that time. And they've studied them for every year of their life, 75 years. Personality profiles, they followed their jobs, their careers, they did medical profiles, they interviewed their family, the people they associated with. So just think about this. Over 700 people, they have, you know, just thousands of papers of documents on each one of them to see how their life went. I mean, it's an incredible study. Some of them were millionaires and lost it all. Some of them started with nothing and became millionaires. So you've got every story in there. At the 75-year mark, only about 10% of them were still alive. And so they went back and they asked them a question of the 10%. They said, are you happy and satisfied with your life? The ones that said, yes, I'm happy and satisfied with my life. So these are men in their 90s. And they said, yes, I'm happy and satisfied with their life. They went back into the data 25 years ago, and they said, what were they doing 25 years ago that would make them happy and satisfied at the end of their life? I mean, that's the question I want to know the answer to. Here's what they found. They were all focused on the same thing. One thing they were focused on. They were focused on relationships. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about power. It wasn't about influence. It wasn't about retiring. It wasn't about a hobby. It was about relationships. So think about that. The people who are most happy with the way their lives have gone are the ones who are focused on relationships. So then I ask the question, what's the key to relationships? The number one key to relationships is trust. You can't have a good relationship unless both parties trust each other. Okay, where does trust come from? Trust is a byproduct of integrity. If you don't have integrity, you can't build trust. It's impossible. Where does integrity come from? Integrity comes from truth. So in order to build integrity, we have got to have the right truth poured into us. So where does truth come from? The author of truth comes from God, God's word. So then I go a little bit deeper, and I go, okay, so what is the most powerful input of truth that there is? It's when you take God's word and you do what we call biblical self-talk. You take God's word and you tell it to yourself in the present tense. And then I got chill bumps because I remember when I was just out of college sitting in Dad's Sunday school class, and he would ask the people in the room, how many of you had a good week this week? And, you know, all of them would raise their hands because they're in Zig Ziglar's class.
Right.
Then he'd say, okay, how many of you had a good week this week reading your Bible every day? Well, back then, people told the truth in church, so about 40% of them would raise their hands. And then he would say, how many of you had a good this week by practicing good biblical self-talk? And that's when it hit me. If you want to be 90, happy and satisfied with your life, the secret is simple. You start with good biblical self-talk, which then creates your integrity, which allows you to have trust, which is the only way you're going to build great relationships. You want your kids to understand truth. God's word, where you start.
You know, I can remember as a young girl, I would see the light on late at night if I got up in the middle of the night. And I would go to the room where the light was on, and I would just peep around the corner. And there I would see my dad reading the scriptures. And both of my parents have always been great students of the word of God. not just so they could teach it or because it was academic, but it was the very core, the value of their own life, which became the value of our family's life. And in order to have that biblical self-talk, we're going to have to know the Bible. And I know that's where we can learn how to be better fathers, better children, better parents, better citizens, all of that. It's within the word that's never out of date, and it's always pertinent. So I love the concept of what you're talking about, and I love the fact that your dad, my dad, have really paved a way to teach us now how to teach the generation that's following us.
Yes. In a nutshell, when we look around at the world and we get confused about all these issues, it's really as simple as the source of what we put into our mind. Is it truth or is it not? If we build our lives on truth, integrity and trust and relationships follow. If we don't, we're in for a long life.
That's really a great, great point. Well, Tom, you are amazing, and I'm so grateful that you are carrying on not only the message, but the legacy of what your dad has done. Of course, I absolutely love Zig Ziglar. I feel honored to have known him at the sunset years of his life. As he was coming off the stage, I was moving on to the stage. No one can ever take your dad's place, but there's parts of your dad in all of us, all around the world. And Zig wrote the foreword to my first book, Seeing Beyond, where I tell our story. And that is in multiple languages and around the globe. But the one thing, always, everywhere I am, when people see Zig Ziglar's name, they'll always come up with some kind of story of how their life has changed or how he trained them or the encouragement that he gave. And I want to live my life in the same way, that the words I have aren't just filler words. It's not just about a speaking job or an engagement, but it's about something that is transformational. And I think as we're talking about fathers, the greatest encouragement that we can give to a father is to say, don't back away, but step into the role that you've been given and to speak life over your children and teach your children core values that will keep them not only today, but the days to come.
Absolutely.
Tom, would you be so kind to encourage dads that are listening today about the legacy that they hold? And also, so many are in search of significance. If you would just sort of encourage them about that point again, and then I'd like you to pray for those dads, if you would.
You bet. So here's the thing. What you do matters. The world's counting on you. Your kids are counting on you. Your spouse, your wife, is counting on you. Without you, then the impact that they can have is going to be deterred, it's going to be muted, and it's going to be far more difficult. Now, in Dad's own life, he lost his father when he was 5 years old, and that might be your situation. You might be a dad who's come from a broken home, or your father died when you were young, or you didn't have a relationship, or worse, maybe it was an abusive relationship. Well, just remember Zig Ziglar's story. He didn't have a father. He didn't have that role model. And what he did is he made his heavenly father his father. And he made a decision. And his decision was very simple. He prayed and he said specifically, God, I want to be the best father and the best husband that I can be. And when he made that decision, he followed it up with an action. And the action was, he studied God's word for thousands of hours, and he read hundreds and hundreds of books on how to be a better parent and a better husband. And so the good news is, regardless of your background, regardless of the situation you've come from, you can make a choice. You can make a choice to create a legacy. You can change the family tree if you're coming from that situation. You already have every quality within you to create an amazing legacy. Those qualities only need to be developed. And even if you don't have an earthly father that you have a connection with, you can call on your heavenly father for that connection. And not only will that connection be there, but he's going to provide the path and the direction and whatever you need to pour into your families and into yourself. And it starts with developing yourself, because you have to lead with influence and example. You got to be the right kind of example in order to have the right kind of influence. Here's the thing, is people who don't try or don't take this seriously, guess what? They're leading by example and influence as well. The challenge is it's not good. So the choice is yours. You have the ability today, regardless of your background, to have an impact into your family, into your kids. You can create a legacy starting from today. It doesn't matter what's already gone on. In fact, you have the ability today to reach into your kids' lives and incrementally every day, every week, every month, build a relationship based on trust and impart to them, transfer to them what they need to know to do the same thing. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that we do have a choice, and we know that you're there to walk beside us. We know that you give us everything that we need the moment that we need it, that you can provide for us. You can give us the wisdom in the moment. At the same time, we know we're not perfect. Nobody was ever a perfect father or a perfect mother or a perfect son or a perfect daughter. We all make mistakes, but that's the beauty of your word and the grace of the cross, that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness. And in fact, the greatest lessons I learned from my dad was when he came to me and asked for forgiveness. That told me that his love was bigger than who was right or wrong. His love was bigger than me. It was based on Christ's love, and that grace and that forgiveness is real and it's abundant. So I pray for every father listening to this that you would understand that there is no more important task in front of you than imparting legacy into your kids, starting with the relationship you have with them, building it on God's word and showing them God's promises. Because I can promise you, when your kids start using God's word to direct their path, it's going to be a good life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, to tell you in 6 words, Tom, that was better than good.
Better than good. Well, I sure appreciate the time, and I love these kind of interviews, especially when you can just be open and transparent and real.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And Tom Ziegler, I absolutely wish you the best. I'm so glad we're friends, and I can't wait to see what's yet to develop in your life as you wear those incredible ties. By the way, I would think those ties never go out of date, right?
Well, even if they do, I don't care.
Well, here's the thing I know about fashion. You keep it long enough, before you know it, they're back in style.
That's right.
Well, I'll see you, my friend. Thank you so much, and happy Father's Day.
All right, thank you.
This is Gail, and I'm wondering if you're up against some impossibilities. If so, I believe you could be encouraged to read our book called Seeing Beyond, with the foreword by Zig Ziglar. In fact, it's also in an audio version. You can find this resource and more at GailMcWilliams.com/tools.